researchers from the anthropology department at the University of South Florida are getting ready to delicately plow the grounds of the now-closed Arthur G. Dozier School for Boys in Marianna. Now, for decades, boys sent to this reform school said young inmates were beaten, even tortured, that some disappeared, that some were killed. A 2009 investigation found no criminal activity, but more former students came forward. Then radar detected over 100 bodies buried on the campus in unmarked graves. Investigations by the U.S. Justice Department and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement confirmed many of the allegations. The school was closed in 2011. Earlier this month, Governor Rick Scott and the rest of the Florida cabinet voted to allow the independent university researchers to exhume the bodies, to complete an investigation, but also return the bodies, whenever possible, to families and descendants. Now, this is a terrible story, a warning. It's very difficult to listen to, but some of the boys, now grown men, are relieved it's finally being heard. 67-year-old Roger Kaiser lived at Dozier from the age of 12 to 15. His book about his experiences there is called The White House Boys, An American Tragedy, and he joins us from the studios of WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida. Roger, welcome.
Thank you.
Quite a story. First of all, the title, The White House Boys?
Yes.
And what does that refer to?
Basically, it's a small building in the Dozier School where they actually beat boys with a leather strap, two pieces of quarter-inch leather, about 3 feet long, with a piece of sheet metal sewn in between.
Hmm. All right. Well, this is a terrible story on so many levels. Tell us first, how did you end up at that school? And that's part of the terrible part of the story, how some of the young boys made their way there. It was originally called the Florida Industrial School for Boys, and you went in 1959. Why?
I was raised in the Children's Home Society in Jacksonville, Florida.
An orphanage?
Yes. Hmm. And there was very little for us to do, so, of course, kids get into trouble. We were climbing the oak tree, climbing the pine trees. And one night we went out, the JCs in Jacksonville had bought the girls some bicycles, and we had never ridden bicycles before. So one night, a bunch of us went out of the dormitory, got on the girls' bicycles, was riding them around the grounds. Matron Mother Winters came out and caught us, called the police. Next thing you know, we're in front of the judge, and he sent a bunch of us off to the Florida Industrial School for Boys.
How old were you?
I was 12 or 13 at the time.
Well, and we understand that there were other things in your background that might have provoked you to run away from the orphanage on occasion?
Well, I was molested from probably the age of 6 or 7 up till I was about 12, and that was one of the reasons I kept running away.
This is a tough, tough story, and I'm imagining that when you were sent away from that orphanage, you might thought maybe things would get better at the Florida Industrial School for Boys. It was a campus, and from what we can hear, kind of attractive.
Well, it was actually beautiful. It was like driving onto a college campus. We drove in. There was manicured lawns, beautiful buildings. There was a swimming pool, a football field, a gymnasium. It had everything. I thought, well, I'm, you know, in heaven here. Little did I know that there was a monster hiding behind every blade of manicured grass.
Well, that sounds pretty extreme. But what we're hearing, and this is also now coming out of Florida, of Florida officials, it was right out of Dickens. What were some of the things that you witnessed?
First of all, I guess the first thing I noticed, I was in one of the cottages, and men would come in at night, and boys would be taken out. Several times we walked into the bathroom, and we saw some of the men had the boys bent over the sink, and we knew what was going on there. I won't go into the details of that. Then all of a sudden they would take boys, and some would never come back. And in one case, there was a 9-year-old boy, I don't remember his name, he was taken out. And they, when the word got back to us, they said that the 9-year-old, when they took him out, was taken into the White House to beat him, and that he had ran off. And he was sent to ACI, the Appalachian Correctional Institution. Well, you don't send a 9-year-old to Appalachian Correctional Institution for running away. So we knew right then the stories we were hearing about boys being killed and boys disappearing was probably true.
Did you actually witness a death?
Yes, I worked in the hospital, and on this one occasion, I had worked the day shift, went back to the cottage, and my cottage father told me to report back to the hospital. I had to work the evening shift. I went back to the hospital, and there was a boy brought in, probably around 8, 9, 10 years old, and his legs were just tore up, and he was laying on the little, not a gurney, but sort of a stainless steel table, and Nurse Womack told me to take his boots off. Well, I started taking his boot off to cut his pants off, and blood was coming out of his pants leg into the boot. And so I ran out into the hallway and started throwing up. And she said, "You get your, you know what, back in here, and you do your job, young man." Well, we waited for the doctor, which never came. And so she told me, another boy showed up. I don't remember who that was. And they had us carry the boy by the arms and the legs down the hallway into the main ward and put him in the bathtub. And when they left, I stood there. The boy wasn't moving. And I started splashing cold water on him to try to get some of the blood off. And she came in and told me to set out on the back deck, which I did, again, waiting for the doctor. And then I guess about a half hour later, the doctor still hadn't showed up. She came in and said, "You go down there and start cleaning up the emergency room there and clean up that blood off the floor." I said, "What about that boy?" She says, "There's nothing more we can do for that boy." So I knew he was dead right then.
That's Roger Kaiser with, as we said, a disturbing description of the Dozier School for Boys in Florida, which was shut down in 2011. And now anthropologists are soon to begin exhuming bodies found buried on the campus, a move pushed by former students like Roger. His book is The White House Boys. Tough conversation, but a voice that wants to be heard. And we'll have more in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and welcome back to our conversation with Roger Kaiser. And again, a warning, it's a tough conversation. He was an inmate at the now-closed Arthur G. Dozier School for Boys in Marianna, Florida. His book is called White House Boys, an American Tragedy, a graphic description of what he and other former students say was decades of tortuous punishment and even murder of boys at the school. Now, some background. Initially, Florida blocked a University of South Florida anthropologist from exhuming graves at the school. Last spring, the state attorney General petitioned the governor to reconsider. Governor Rick Scott and other lawmakers recently voted to allow the exhumation, and it will begin Labor Day weekend. Of the many employees, the now grown students accused of torturing and killing boys, only one is alive. A class action suit was brought against Troy Tidwell, but a court found the statute of limitations had run out. That suit was thrown out. And after that, an attempt was made to pass a bill in the Florida legislature giving compensation to the victims and their families, but that proposal never made it to a vote. Again, this is very difficult to hear, but Roger, as you know, Troy Tidwell said that what happened to students like you was just spanking. You write very graphically about the White House, the building where you and others say these beatings occurred. You say you were brutally whipped, paddled.
And when that paddle came down on me, I thought my head would explode. I came off the bed, jumped up onto the end of the bed of springs, and jumped up into the corner, and they just started beating the hell out of me with the leather strap. When they got done, I was so bloody that when I went into Dr. Curry's office, which was a psychiatrist, the secretary said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Roger Kaiser." And she knew me well. She says, "Oh, my God, you go over to Mr. Hatton's office." So I walked into Mr. Hatton's office, and I knew I couldn't sit down because when they beat you, you were almost like hamburger. And when I turned around, I sort of mumbled, "One day I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to tell what you people are doing here." And I turned around, he pointed right into my face, and he says, "That's a good way to wake up dead tomorrow morning, sonny boy." Mm-hmm. I knew right then that they were killing boys.
Was this just a group of sadists? What is your sense of... Now, from this distance, what is your sense of how this happened and how it was allowed to happen?
Well, basically, at the time, I didn't think it was sadistic or anything. That's just the way it was. And, of course, it probably wasn't as bad on me in the reform school as it would have been for someone who was raised in a family. But I was already institutionalized, so I was used to that type of a treatment. I've only been able to describe it almost as a concentration camp, and you realize you have to be very careful. You don't see, hear, or say anything. And if you do, they're going to get you, and you're liable to beat you to death, or you're liable to disappear in the middle of the night.
Well, look, we know that you finally got out of Dozier when you were 15, lived on the streets because you didn't want to go back to the orphanage, which was also a terrible place. When did you start trying to get the state to pay attention to Dozier?
I actually said a few things to some ministers and school teachers when I got out, but nobody would listen. Nobody would believe that. I probably started contacting governors all the way from, I think his name was Governor Askew. There's five or six governors. Never heard anything until I finally got a letter back from Jeb Bush. And all they did was apologize to me. They didn't do anything. And then I guess probably a few years had passed. I started working on the book. I've been working on this now for 22 years. And I went into classmates.com, and it asked me, what school I went to. I put Spring Park Elementary. And then it said, what high school? Well, I didn't go to high school, only for 2 weeks at Landon here in Jacksonville. So I says, what the heck? I put down Florida Industrial School for Boys at Mariana. And about 3 or 4 days later, I went back in, and there was about 5 or 6 guys that put in the same thing who had been there. So I started talking with them, and this is when everything started to form. Then Robert Straley, which is another White House boy, a friend of mine, contacted me, and that's when we started forming the White House Boys.
Yeah. Well, and pushed to have Dozier looked at. The state finally agreed to send investigators in. The press found out about these unmarked graves that were on the campus, and the ball starts rolling to where we are today. Investigators found records indicating how people died. 96 people died, all young people except for 2 adults. Disease, trauma, drowning. 7 young boys died trying to escape. 1 16-year-old was shot. Now we have anthropologists from the University of South Florida. I'm going to exhume the bodies. What do you hope that they find?
Well, I know what they're going to find. They're going to find a heck of a lot more bodies than what they think are up there. They're going to find a couple hundred bodies. They're going to find them in the dump. Some bodies they'll never find.
How validating has this been for you?
I was before the Senate when they made the vote with the governor. And I suppose I went a little numb when they voted, and I knew that the truth was finally going to come out. But what meant a lot to me was we received, after they voted, we received a standing ovation. The policemen stood up, the military people stood up, everybody stood up and clapped. And it almost brought me to tears because through the years, we have been called nothing but a bunch of liars, a bunch of former juvenile delinquents who were after nothing but money, to put money in our pocket or to sell books. We were called by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement nothing but a bunch of old soldiers who couldn't get their war story straight. So that's what meant a lot to me. That was the vindication I got.
Roger Kaiser, again, his book is The White House Boys, An American Tragedy. He lived at the Dozier School for Boys from the age of 12 to 15. And the state of Florida is getting ready to exhume the bodies of boys who disappeared during their time there. Roger, are you going to go? You going to be there?
I think the University of South Florida wants to try to keep themselves separate. And I think they should, be independent from us,
right,
or the state,
right,
so that things are done legitimately. We are planning possibly to go up to Mariana before they start exhuming next week and possibly have some sort of a service for the boys, because they're going to, in a sense, I guess, see light for the first time in a long time.
And a proper burial.
Yes.
Roger, thank you.
Well, I appreciate the time to be on. Thank you.
And again, the state of Florida has commissioned researchers at the University of South Florida to exhume the bodies. They'll be led by anthropologist Aaron Kimmerly, who led the investigating team that previously found causes of death for boys ranging from drowning to infectious disease. We'll continue to follow this story for you and see what they find this time around. But if you live in Florida, we would love to hear from you. Do you think your state should revisit compensation for the boys and their families? Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry. Online at brilliantearth.com. And Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com.